All right, Nathanites, here we are again for another exciting episode of Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. Today features a dumb birthday game from February 17th, 1996. It always seemed when Norm got very comfortable with the producer, they would leave, and the whole process would start again. It was a tough situation because we lost some good ones. So, because producer Ed LeClaire was leaving for Florida to possibly work at Gulf World, I will title this one, The Incredible Mr. LeClaire. Norm and Ed discuss all that, and the players are introduced. And there's a whole lot of fun before they finally start the game. Here are your players. Ed LeClaire, Jack Hart, twin brothers John and Jim from Livonia, Michigan, Bob and Peabody, and Pete from Lawrence. The birthdays, Hal Holbrook, Margaret Truman Daniel, Jim Brown, Michael Jordan, Marianne Mobley, and then a date in history. The first issue of Newsweek magazine was published in what year? Episode 275, The Incredible Mr. LeClaire Swims Its Way to Your Ears. Now.
Florida.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's fun working with you. I'm sorry to see you go. It's just, gee whiz.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that, Norman, and I'm going to miss you, and it's been really a great pleasure working with you, but I have family down in Florida, and they've asked me to come down, and I've been meaning to for some time, and it's time to move on. I've been here in Boston for about 5 years, and I feel like I'd like to go on to...
Wait, now, you're from California originally.
I'm from California.
San Diego, is it,
From San Diego originally.
Yeah.
And I have an aunt down in Florida in the Pensacola area, and my sister's down there, too. And she works for one of those like SeaWorld type parks where you have killer whales and dolphins and things doing shows. And she thinks she can get me a job running the audio board for this group because they do little sound effects and things like kissing sound effects because the seal will come out of the water and will kiss a little girl. And then there's a big like smacking sound effect. So she thinks she can get me a job doing that, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun.
I think it is a lot of fun, and I think now since you're a young guy and unencumbered and all that kind of stuff, I know you have Elizabeth and all that.
Right,
and
she'll be joining me too.
That's good. Okay, now where is the name of this park? Is that in Pensacola?
It's Gulf World is the name of it.
Gulf World?
Yes.
And it's in Pensacola.
It's just outside Pensacola. It's a place, it's probably about 50 miles to the east of Pensacola in a place called Panama City.
Okay, I've heard of Panama City.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have.
It's a lovely place.
Is that on the Gulf?
Yeah, right on the Gulf. Right on the Gulf. There's Panama City and then there's Panama City Beach, which is where this Gulf World actually is. But I'll be staying with my aunt in Panama City.
Okay, so anybody goes down there,
they can stop by and say hello.
They might hear you on the PA system at the theme park.
That's right. I could be saying, "Now, Rocky the Seal."
Okay. Good luck. I wish you more good luck tomorrow because you will be back again then.
But now we have a dumb birthday game to play.
We do, and we also have Jack Hart, who's on the line with us right this very moment.
Hello.
Hello, Jack.
Now, can you imagine that? Here we have the city of Boston, a world-class city with that small-town feel, the city that only sometimes naps, everything you could possibly want, four seasons, and you're leaving.
Well, it has snow, and that's been kind of a drawback for me, so I'm going to move on to maybe a little warmer climes.
Wow.
Yes. But my heart will still be here in Boston.
Listen to this. There's just syrup dripping all over everything. We're going to get electrocuted when it hits the microphone. Anyway, you know, you raise a son.
Buy him books, send him to school.
Yes, he has spent tons of money. You devote love to him and everything. He grows up, and what does he do? I'll see you later. I'm tired of you and your snow. That's all you get. And sometimes I wonder why I'm a father.
And you know what's going to happen, Norm? We're both going to be old and hoping to have our children take care of us. And where are they going to be? Florida.
That's right. Well, I'm old already, and I'm waiting for my kids to take care of me now. But that's what dads are for, is to take care of the kids, you know.
Yeah.
One day I'll be 106 years old, I'll be 90, and I'll still be taking care of them. Well, maybe they'll be 80. But anyway. I had some really magnificent question to ask you. I shouldn't say that without remembering what the question was. But I've been looking out the window. Nothing seems to be going on.
Nothing is coming out of the sky right this very minute.
No, and it hasn't for the past few hours.
Well, a couple of hours ago, we did get kind of a little bit of a whack there for about a half hour, 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I must not have been looking out the window at that time.
No.
Because this past afternoon, like around 2 or 3 o'clock, I was talking with one of my daughters, and she said, and it was starting to snow pretty good at that time, and she said, "Dad, you ought to go to work now." Because by the time you leave, normally I leave like 10 o'clock at night, 9 or 10. And she said, "It's going to be..." And I said, "I don't want to spend the whole afternoon there. You know, this is not a theme park. There's not no great amusement. I could go up to the WBC Hall of Fame, the museum."
No kissy sharks jumping out of the water.
No kissy sharks at all, no. I could hang around the lobby of the WBC Westinghouse plush hotel on the top floor, the penthouse apartments and stuff.
Eating caviar and drinking fizzy water.
That's right. I could have gone to the WBC farm and food store. Yeah. Stuff like that, you know, and just let my hand run through some grain and stuff, you know. But I thought, I could do all of that in about 12 minutes. I don't have to come in at 3 in the afternoon. So I went to bed and I thought, by the time I get up, I'm going to be snowed in. I'll never be able to get there. And it'll be terrible. It'll spoil my record of never having missed a show in 743 years. and as it was, I got plowed out meanwhile, and my driveway was great, and there was hardly anything going on, and much less traffic on the road because all the weather guys scared everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out to be okay. Isn't that an interesting story? Would you like to buy the movie rights to that?
Well, you know, earlier today, just this afternoon, I was watching, there was very light traffic around, like, say, 4:30 or so, and I was watching people drive around, just having the whole open road, and I was thinking, gee, wouldn't I like to be in a car right now?
And do you have a car?
No, I don't have a car.
Oh, that does. So if you called me, I could have come by and picked you up.
we could have just driven around all afternoon, yeah, and your daughter would have thought you were safe. And...
If you wanted to ride in a car, and you have been so good and so loyal, the least I could have done was drive you around during the snow.
Well, that's the beauty about living in a world-class city like Boston. We have subways. We can get anywhere we want.
That's right. You know what it's like in Panama City?
Not a subway to be found.
Nothing. People are standing there waiting for a subway, and everybody's afraid to tell them there aren't any.
Not so much in a rickshaw.
Incidentally, one more thing, then I'll introduce you to other members of the panel. But there's an open casting call for Leave It to Beaver. They're going to make a movie out of it. Leave It to Beaver. Universal Pictures is conducting a national talent search for boys age 7 to 13 to star in Leave It to Beaver. It says an all-new feature film based on the classic television series of the 50s and 60s. This is the part that really gets me, the next line. No previous acting experience is required. That ought to be a hell of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
I never was in the movie. I don't even speak English too well, but, you know, I have a son who talks just the way I do, and he's between 7 and 13. If I could count, I'd tell you exactly how old he is, but I'm not really quite sure.
Sure, I can just see that. Gee, Wally, do you think we should tell Dad about the car?
We'll have to. I'd like to go on a pike night. A pike night. Anyway, it's supposed to be a contemporary comedy about life as seen through the eyes of young Theodore Beaver Cleaver, and we'll be we'll mention the producers and stuff. But the casting will be held Saturday, not today, but next Saturday, February 24th, between 10 and 5, at Universal Studios. That alone has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? I have to go to Universal Studios. I'm trying out for Leave It to Beaver, Pat. And I don't have to know how to read or anything.
Yeah, are you an actor? Not at all.
Yeah, no, I've had no previous acting experience at all, as a matter of fact. It's 3900 Lancashire Boulevard, Main Gate, Universal City. It says, enter next to MCA World Headquarters, 2 blocks north of Universal Terrace Parkway.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Let me write that down again.
Okay.
Universal Terrace.
Okay, it's 7 to 13, if you know any 7 to 13-year-old people who can't act. Have them show up for the casting call of Leave It to Beaver next Saturday, the 24th, if they happen to be in Universal City. Because you're leaving here tomorrow, because you're a little out of the age range, I suppose.
Just slightly.
Yeah, maybe not only do you not have to know how to act, but maybe you don't have to even be of that age. Maybe.
I could kneel down a lot. And,
yeah, you could. Know. You could do that. Walk on your knees and talk with a higher voice.
Well, then you could also get a job in Tim Conway's little videos there, too, if you walked around.
That's right.
That's right.
Dorf video.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. It's kind of funny.
Leave It to Dorf. We'll be
Yeah. I saw pictures of the, who's the character? Jerry Mathers, who played Beaver.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a grown man now, although he's got the same face, but a much bigger body.
Same little hat.
Yeah, and he still can't act. He couldn't act in that show either. Gee, Wally, Dad wouldn't like that, I don't think. What do you help me with my paper route? Okay, because I forget where I'm supposed to, what the paper, I can't read it anyway, you know. I don't know, anyway.
Gee, Beav, don't you think you're kind of goofy not to be able to throw a newspaper? Golly.
That was the most unrealistic program of all, with June always, June Cleaver always.
In a fog.
Yeah, what's on the cookie? I'm making chocolate chip cookies. I can't be bothered now by Bosnia or whatever the event is of that period.
Heard the boys, Ward. They're hanging on your shoulder.
And the father was just something special, wasn't he? Anyway, at least he had a job. We never knew what Ozzie Nelson did.
He was a professional loafer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me introduce the members of the panel. We have twin brothers. I'll bet they sound a lot alike. Here's John.
Hi,
John. Where in Michigan are you?
This is Livonia.
Oh, that's right, Livonia.
The city, where nothing happened.
That's right. I mentioned having known some people from Livonia. And they said, it's the city where nothing happens every minute.
You know? In the city that always sleeps.
That always sleeps, yeah, that's right.
I'm almost there, no, okay.
You haven't made it until you have passed quickly through Livonia.
Yeah.
Is it Livonia or Livonia? No, Livonia.
Livonia.
That's right, Livonia.
Yeah, remember the roots go from New Yorkers who came from England? From England to New York, and then they came from New York to here. And that's why its name is Livonia.
Oh, and their name was Livonia? I didn't realize that's where he got the name. So
yeah.
I forgot. Okay, now you have a twin brother. He's on a different line, I guess.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Look, this is Bob and Peabody. We'll get to Jim in just a minute, the twin brother. I wanted to hear you both talk, as I have a feeling the voices are the same.
Not really. It's funny because you'll see.
Okay. Well, let me bring him on now then.
Okay.
John. Let me see. Who we got now? I'm mixed up. Oh, Jim. Hi.
Good morning, Norm.
I can't tell him apart.
Are they okay?
Yeah. Say good morning, Norm. First, John, and then Jim.
Good Norm. Good morning, Norm.
Good morning, Norm.
Is there a similarity there? Sounds a little similar to me.
Oh, very similar.
Yeah.
I think they're related.
You think maybe they're not. They're probably cousins.
Gee, Norm, there's a gas leak at the Bee's house. Mrs. Cleaver seems to be enjoying it.
Dad said he'd give me a nickel for the movies.
But cheapo Hugh Beaumont won't let Mom pay the check to the gas man.
No, if you ever want to be out of touch with reality, just especially if you're not feeling well, if you got the flu or something and you're lying in bed, the best way to get away from the real world is just to watch Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of funny. Hey, Bob and Peabody, how you doing?
Not too bad, Norman. You ever noticed that Ward Cleaver, no matter what he was doing, always wearing his same stupid sweater and tie.
Yeah.
He could be digging out a septic tank and there's that damn sweater and tie.
And the mother,
Always had a dress, no matter what. Girl.
She was always dressed very well. Yeah,
well, I mean, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. She could have a hangover, but there's breakfast.
Well, I wish she did have a hangover, and I wish he would throw up or something.
And I've got one for you.
Yeah?
You're going to Golf World?
Yeah.
Well, good. You're leaving Boston to go out with a whale with gas? Leave, you rotten kid.
Well, I hate to see Ed go, too, because, I mean, I think you guys are a great pair. Norm, give him a raise. See if money can be...
he can't be bought. I offered him
a 50... Elizabeth couldn't do what you want.
Yeah, I offered him a 50-cent-an-hour raise.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah, huh? He'd be making nearly $3.50 an hour now.
Oh, no, not what, that.
How greedy can
how
a guy
ungrateful.
Get?
Oh, and Jack?
Yes?
You don't have a car?
No.
Maybe you want to be doing traffic on the T's. He's Ed Begley's brother.
That's great. He's a traffic guy reporting traffic, and he doesn't even have a car.
See, I know how dangerous it is out there.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, but that doesn't always mean anything. Like Gil Santos, who does sports for us, I bet he doesn't have a fielder's glove.
Yeah, but I bet he knows how to stick it.
Yeah. Knows how to stick it. Did you say that?
Certainly did, Ollie.
Well, about Ed, I lived out in California for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
I missed the snow. I even missed rain. And, it's that old thing. You don't miss what you never had.
Well, I don't know. I may end up missing it a lot, and I may end up coming back, but it's something I'm going to try for a while.
Well, you didn't grow up with it, probably, right?
No, I didn't.
And you didn't grow up sledding and skiing, and even if you don't participate in like winter activities, like if you live in New England, which you have been, and Norm does, you get used to the four seasons. Well,
right.
Out in L.A., they got a desert climate. I miss the fall. I miss the spring. I miss the change of the seasons.
No, actually, I was in Los Angeles. I have relatives in Marina Del Rey and North Hollywood and that whole area. And I remember being out there in the fall, October, when you start getting a nip in the air here,
right.
A little bit of a nip. It's still, fairly warm. And I kept saying, I miss being back home, the nip in the air. Wood. I miss cutting wood, getting ready for the winter.
You don't smell the leaves, the burning the certain fragrances of fall.
That's right. One thing you also haven't lived unless you've done as a kid to have been bundled in so many clothes that you can't move any of your limbs or your head.
And you still lose your memory.
Yes.
Even with those little clip-ons.
You've got one frozen hand, and the rest of you is just boiled and you can't move.
I just noticed something?
Yeah?
We're near a commercial break. We haven't even got... and introduce the fourth member of the panel yet.
But we haven't, and I'm going to do that right this minute. He probably feels neglected. It's Pete and Lawrence. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Norm.
Hi, Pete.
Hello,
hi.
Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pete.
Hello, John Boy.
Yeah. You're in pretty fast company, Pete. I hope you keep up with it.
The twins do sound different, Norm.
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
I'd like to be bold. I'd like to say hello to Arlene. I heard her that one night.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Arlene, was she from Indiana or someplace?
Philadelphia, I think.
Oh, Philadelphia. Oh, Arlene, yes.
Arlene, I thought it was Arlene.
Oh, Arlene, that's right.
And she's got two guys on the line. I'd like to be the third.
Wow.
She's got one in someplace in Pennsylvania and another in Kansas City. and Christine. Kristen, she should call in more often.
Kristen is fun, yes.
Yeah, I mean, certain radio voices, your own, and Kristen, she should do answering machine voices for, say you send your tape, and she puts a message on. She just has a very pleasant voice.
Yeah, she does. She does. She is a very pleasant lady. I like her a lot. She's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Catholic Hour will not be on till 5:30 this afternoon.
No, it's not on today anyway.
It's not
that's not till tomorrow. No, we're on till 5 o'clock this morning.
Us sinners. That's right.
We may not even get into. We may not even get into the game till then.
What do you mean, us sinners?
Okay, speak for myself. You know, I wonder if Jerry Mathers has a son that could play the newbie.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Wally, what's the hickey?
don't worry, B, you'll never find out.
Hey, I've got to get another commercial. Unfortunately, this happens to be the President's Day weekend, and all car companies have sales and stuff. You know, this is when they start plugging stuff. So we get a million automobile commercials.
Speaking of that, my brother, I've been telling about that Dinger commercial. I love that.
That's been around for 1,000 years.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, I mean, I've been listening to you guys.
Yeah, how does Dinger do it?
Right, how does Dinger do it?
Well, usually lying on his right side very often. Anyway, hold on a minute. We'll be right back. It's so beachy where the wind comes right behind the rain. Where you're doing fine, Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi, you're a mouse. No, wait a minute. Don't do that.
Hey, Norm?
Yes.
I think we ought to give a new award at the end of the game.
Yeah?
Yeah, the people at the end of the game that get the worst, they ought to get the silly old Pook Award.
Okay.
Norm, keep using your tag. I like that. Old sport. I really like that. And one day I was listening to you, and Bob Rowley was on next, and you didn't use it. And I was hanging on, waiting for you to say good night, old sport.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of running kind of late, and it just drifted out of my mind. You know where that line came from?
No, but my grandfather used to use it, sign the cards from the old sport.
Did he really? Because actually, it comes from the 20s. So that's right. It was I came across it reading F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, and that's a lot of his stuff was the 20s.
Oh, okay.
He wrote about stuff from the 20s.
Yeah, my grandfather was born in 1899, so yeah, he would have been impressionable.
That's right. He would have been part of that generation, and there were a lot of expressions in the 20s, and that was one of them. And again, it was I remember reading The Great Gatsby, which I love, and Gatsby called everybody old sport. I thought, hey, I kind of like that.
And, how racy was the book? I never put the time in to read that particular book. How racy was that book?
No, not really racy. No,
well, of course, you have to remember that Norm patterns his life on that whole F. Scott Fitzgerald thing.
That's right. I was going to move to Long Island.
So where's
and live Benny? In a mansion out there like the Great Gatsby did.
Sure. Where's Jack Benny fit in?
Well, Jack Benny would have been from that era also.
Yeah.
I could have lived in the Great Gatsby's mansion in Long Island and talked like Jack Benny.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you, you know, the old sport or what?
Something like that. I could have.
There's no reason we couldn't blend all of that together.
Yeah, like what's that movie, Slaughterhouse-Five, where the guy is dreaming of being on another planet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Norm could be dreaming that he's in.
The Great Gatsby's mansion.
He's a garage house, or he's a chauffeur or something.
That's right. You know, I wrote the book after Kurt Vonnegut was on the show, you know, with me. You know.
Once again.
I'm sounding hysterical now. Have you noticed?
Once again, it goes to show that people in Livonia do live lonely lives.
You don't know lonely till you live in Middleton, Massachusetts.
I know what it's like.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's right, Bob. Bob is from Peabody, which is right next door.
And when Buchanan shows up, tell him to go to his mountain resort.
I see. That Buchanan. Okay.
Tell him to goose step to his mountain resort.
No.
Yavool.
I guess we fixed him. Anyway, let's guess. Let's see.
Somebody should.
Is this not?
Does he have any children?
Hey, listen.
No, they fixed him.
Is this not the dumb birthday game show? We not get on with some birthdays.
Why
what do you
not?
Think?
It's 25 minutes of 3 or 4.
Okay, Hal Holbrook was born on this very day.
Oh. Hold
on. He's in Boston now, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
Doing not the Great Gatsby, but Arthur Miller's play. Yeah,
Catechism After Dark.
What's that?
He's doing Catechism After Dark with Sister. Yeah. What's her name?
That's right. That's right.
I tried to get my brother to hear that commercial, and then you guys took it off.
Yeah,
then it came show, back on.
It came back on. The show came back to Boston, and now it's. I think she's gone back to Chicago now, the woman that's doing that.
Yeah, that's right. It was playing in both cities at one point. Anyway, Hal Holbrook. John, what do you think? How old is Hal Holbrook?
I think he's 67.
67. Okay, he was on a soap opera in the very early days of television. I can't remember the name of the soap opera, but there was a lady in it whose name I can't think of either, who I lusted after. Mm-hmm. So every time I look at Hal Holbrook, I think of this dark-haired, beautiful lady with the great legs.
So you mean you lust in your heart every time you see Hal Holbrook?
Hal Holbrook's legs, right.
Yeah.
He's got great legs.
Well, I'm trying to get really excited about that to make my life fuller, but it's not working very well. Anyway, but he was on the soap opera the first time I'd ever seen him. Then he did Mark Twain. He did the one man show, Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Yes.
But his greatest claim to fame was in one of Chevy Chase's finer vehicles, Fletch Lives.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he plays the southern kind of like town mayor of
Right? He's in Rambo films too.
Yeah.
Is he in Rambo? You know,
he
makes.
Are you confusing him with Crenshaw?
Oh, Richard Crenna. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh.
I know he played Mark Twain on Leave It to Beaver once.
Really?
And Hugh Beaumont cleaned his clock.
June,
that's right. No, June. No, he and June Beaver. Or June Cleaver, rather, had an affair.
What's the difference, Norm?
There's a line there somewhere.
Yeah. And Mr. Cleaver came in and said, I don't think you should be doing that. I'm going back to the office now and talk with the guys as soon as I talk with Beaver.
Didn't Hugh Beaumont become a Catholic priest? Yeah, priest. Didn't he become one?
I don't know.
No.
No, I mean being actually a real priest, you mean?
Yeah, he either was one before he began acting.
No. I think you might be thinking of Alan Young with Mr. Red. He became a
priest. No, I'm thinking Hugh Beaumont. He was ordained a Catholic priest. I believe that's a fact.
Yeah?
Yeah.
After doing such a scandalous show.
Yeah, that's right.
So well, you noticed the bed. They never showed the bedroom.
So what would they call him? Father Dad?
Bill Cosby's going to star in that.
Now, cut that out, would you? Let's get on with this thing. Jim, how old do you think Hal Holbrook is?
Hal Holbrook, I believe, is 72.
72. Bob. What do you think?
Who cares?
I don't care either.
65.
Yeah, because one of you has got to get some of these tasteless prizes, you know.
Well, when am I getting my cheesy prize from January 7th, Norm?
You don't have that yet?
No.
And this is Jim? You never got that?
No. Has a postal person pilfered my prize?
I don't know. I tell you what, at the end, I'll turn you back to Ed, and he'll take your name and address. I'll get something out
to
you.
I'll take care of it for you.
I'm not worried. Just send me a postcard and say, hey. Or a picture. I want to see what you look like, Norm.
You're never going to see that. What do you think?
Norm, I'm a heterosexual.
Sure, right.
Okay. Anyway, Pete, how old do you think Hal Holbrook is?
I think I'll say 72 also.
72 also. And Ed?
66.
And what do you think, Jack?
71.
71 is exactly right.
Wow.
Exactly right. 70, son of a gun.
You know that old thing, always go with your first impression?
Yeah,
I was, you know, I was teetering on 71, and I just said 72, probably because I'm preferential to even numbers.
Okay, you and Pete both said 72. You couldn't be much closer than that.
Yeah.
Margaret Truman Daniel, of course, the daughter of Harry Truman, mm-hmm. married to Clifford Daniel of the formerly of the New York Times. She was born on February 17th. Also, Jack, how old is Margaret Truman Daniel?
Margaret Truman Daniel.
It was so lovely. Remember her father wrote a letter to that guy with the Washington Post who gave her a bad review for her singing. The critic was right. She never really could sing too well.
Well, I don't remember it when it happened. But.
No, but Harry, you've heard of it. Harry Truman was irate and sent him a letter. This is from the President of the United States saying something about he's going to break his nose or, you know, going to smack you right in the face or something like that. It was so human. I think everybody loved him for that.
Well, didn't someone recently say something about Chelsea Clinton or something, and didn't the President go into a tirade?
No, that was about Hillary.
Yeah, like William Sapphire.
Said something.
Oh, that's right.
Called Hillary a congenital liar. Yeah. And so Bill fought back.
She's a great little piano player.
Okay, Margaret Truman Daniel. Jack, how old is she today?
Oh, I see. Let's see. When was Truman the president? That was in
Truman
the
50s. Was a president. He was the president in 1948 is when he beat Dewey. He'd been finishing out. He'd already been president a little bit because he took over upon the death of Franklin Roosevelt.
Hey, Norm?
Yes.
Not to interrupt and make it longer, but how come I always want to know when people name off like the greatest presidents.
Yes.
They always include Harry Truman.
Yes.
Now, I understand FDR, and I understand my grandfather thought Calvin Coolidge was one of the best because he always kept his mouth shut and you couldn't tell if he was a fool or a genius.
Oh, yeah, Silent Cal.
And he didn't believe, he was a true libertarian. He didn't do anything. He sat around with his finger up his nose the whole time.
No wonder we couldn't say nothing.
He's David Brednoy's favorite president, Calvin Coolidge.
But you lived in the era. How come Truman has gone down as one of the greatest presidents?
He did quite a lot. Some of the programs that were passed during his administration, I think, saved a lot of Europe from going communist. When he had the aid to Greece and Turkey, he had the Marshall Plan, which kind of really revived Europe. And plus, I think it was very human. And
he didn't take any guff. He kind of had the attitude where. And he also, walked around the White House outside the...
Yeah, I used to walk, and we used to walk at a brisk pace, and the reporters had to move to keep up with him. He was the one who said, the buck stops here. He had a sign there. He took full responsibility. He was an interesting man.
And he kind of had a Mark Twain kind of personality.
In a way, he came from nothing. He was a
haberdasher.
He was a bankrupt haberdasher. He never was successful in business.
Right.
He was set up by the Pendergast machine out in Kansas City. But despite whatever anybody thinks of the Pendergast machine, and there were some questions about just how legitimate it was, he really broke off from them. What Pendergast was, like Tammany Hall in New York, it was an organized political setup.
Oh, I see.
Or like Daley in Chicago.
Yeah, in a sense, not the current mayor,
right?
But the one his father.
Richard, this was in Kansas City, though.
This was Kansas City, the Prendergast, well, not Pendergast, Prendergast. But he split off from that, and also he had gone against the Ku Klux Klan, which was having some rallies in Missouri, and a whole lot. He did a lot of things. I mean, he was an amazing guy, and he came really from nowhere, suddenly became president only because he got to be vice president because nobody wanted, I forgot the other guy who had been vice president before.
Ellie Stevenson?
No, Landon? Was it Alf Landon?
No. Alf Landon was a Republican who ran against Roosevelt in 1936.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
couldn't have been
who only got Vermont and New Hampshire.
Edley Stevenson ran against Eisenhower, right?
That's right, in 1952.
Yeah,
again in 1956, also in lost both times.
Yeah, you know, Muriel Cuomo is kind of reminding me of Edley Stevenson. He's a very bright man.
Yes.
And he admitted on a Lauren Hutton interview last night that he kind of missed his mark. He regrets not running in 1992.
I saw that program. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cuomo, I think, is an incredibly remarkable man. He said he didn't want to be on the Supreme Court because he was apparently offered it or had a chance to become a member of the U.S. Supreme Court. And he said, I don't want to sit around, with judicial opinions. He wants to go out and do something. And at the moment, I guess mostly he's doing his radio show.
Yeah.
Which is it carried out where you are in Michigan?
No, it's
Michigan?
Not. We have a local station out in Ann Arbor, which would be perfect. They have the G. Gordon Liddy show on, sadly, and people are calling in and saying that they're going to boycott the advertisers. Ann Arbor is a very open-minded liberal town, and they sell more books in Washtenaw County, Ann Arbor, the area, per capita than anywhere in the country. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this radio station owner who his big claim to fame is he says he's friends with Richard Nixon, not now, but when the man was living. He carries D. Gordon Liddy, and I told him he should either have Jerry Brown or Mario Cuomo show on, and it fell on deaf ears.
They want to push their conservative agenda like Luke WJR in town here. It's really getting bad because you came and get a fair balance here in town.
Is that true? WJR has a lot of conservative talk hosts.
WJR, Norm, stands for We're Just Republicans.
Really?
Wow. That's interesting. That's pretty much the trend of the whole country.
And the Republicans from Indiana. And,
Well, even here at BZ, we have 10 hours from 7 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning with two very conservative guys.
Bob Rawley
is conservative, and so is David Brednor.
Yeah. Go beyond the headlines, though. I wish he would actually read the stories instead of just...
Yeah, last night, he had callers calling in about the Kennedy conspiracy, and he would, you know how he expects callers to have an open mind to everything? He wouldn't even listen to... He cut off like 3 callers in a row. Wouldn't even let them state their opinion.
He's tacky. He's rude and he's tacky. But, you know, I wish BZ can do better than that. They can get someone who actually is civil and has some class and dignity to him, you know?
Well, normally he does, but my point is that he wouldn't even listen to the possibility of the facts that people are pouring out about the Kennedy assassination.
He's getting as cheap as his pens, Jim.
Run out of ink. It wasn't even a week and it dried up.
Where did you lose control of this, Norm?
I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing. It's almost 10 before 4 o'clock. We haven't even gotten to the second name yet.
Okay, Norm. All right. Harry Truman was a great man. Now you've enlightened me.
Yeah, no, he was. He was not thought of that. When he left office, everybody said, "What a bum! That same thing with Abraham Lincoln. Well, yeah, none of these guys were thought great during their day.
Abraham Lincoln has more movies made of him than any other president thus far.
Yeah. Well, back to Bob Rawley.
Okay, Margaret Truman Daniel, Jack Hart. What do you say? How old is she anyway?
Oh, Margaret Truman Daniel.
Yeah, no, start thinking too much now. We look at all the time we gave you to think about this.
Yeah,
well, no stalling, Jack.
Well, if I had to make a guess, I would say...
He's doing it anyway.
60. Hey, listen, I've been sitting here quiet for the last half hour.
Right. And we thank you. We appreciate it. And Raleigh's still
waking. Let me see. 62.
62. Okay, Ed, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. 72?
72. Okay, Pete, what do you think?
I'll say 60.
60. Okay, Bob?
64.
And Jim?
I'm going to stick with what I had, 72.
72, okay. And John?
63.
Okay, 72 is exactly right.
Hey. All right.
So we had two winners.
Jim.
Ed LeClaire and the Jim both said 72.
Thank you, Hal Holbert.
How about...
Hal, if you're out there, thank you.
How about Jim Brown, the Hall of Fame football player from the Cleveland Browns?
Who tried to get Richard Pryor off of crack.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he came in and Richard does a routine, or he used to, and he came in and his big line was, "What you gonna do? What you gonna do, Rich?"
Yeah.
And Rich kind of ignored him and became a human Roman candle.
Didn't Jim Brown used to play for the Redskins too?
The Cleveland Browns?
He may have played for somebody besides, but I always think of them as a Cleveland Browns player.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with you, Bob. How old do you think Jim Brown is?
57.
57. Okay, Pete, what do you think?
65.
Okay, and John?
I think he's 58.
Jim?
Okay, he was 40 on the Letterman show, and that was... 83. I'll go 55.
55. Okay, Ed?
56.
And Jack?
59.
Okay, he's 60.
Uh-huh.
So I think Jack came the closest at 59.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that, Ed.
While we're on athletes, how about Michael Jordan? Today is his birthday, February 17th. Let's start with you, Pete. How old do you think Michael Jordan is, the basketball player? It's funny, the list I have here says former basketball player. Before he came back again. Yeah. And also played a little baseball. Remember at one point?
Yeah, he tried out for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, and that
he played minor league ball. For
he bought a bus with a team. It cost him about $300,000.
Yeah,
penny change.
That'll help you make the team.
Yeah, jump change, really.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete said you said 33. Is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John, what do you say?
31.
31. Okay, and let's see, Ed.
36.
Jack.
34.
Bob.
32.
And Jim?
32.
32. Okay. 33
oh.
Is exactly right.
Who got it?
Pete.
Hey,
Pete said 33.
Hey, let's hear for the guy from Lawrence.
Okay. Yeah. How about Mary Ann Mobley? Wasn't she Miss America at one time?
Yeah.
And also, an actress. I think she did do some acting somewhere.
She was in a few Jerry Lewis movies.
Did she represent the Florida Orange Growers before Anita Bryant?
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
She did. I do know that she was not on Leave It to Beaver.
She was Hugh Beaumont's
sister. She had acting experience.
She was
maybe off camera.
Yeah.
She was Hugh Beaumont's what?
Mistress.
Oh, mistress. Yeah, that's correct. Just so right.
Mistresses or
sisters? Yeah, it says that right here.
I've got news for you, June.
And that's how she got her name, Mobley.
Oh, what's better than Lumpy?
Lumpy Rutherford.
Hey, Bob, how old do you think Marianne Mobley is?
Let's go 50.
Let's go 50, okay. And Jim?
64.
Right, and Jack, 58. And what do you think, Pete?
I'll go between them and say 62.
62. Okay, and John?
56.
Ed?
Oh, 50.
Oh, 50.
Oh,
50. Actually, 57 is how old she is. So that means we have two winners. John, who said 56 was 1 year off, and Jack, who said 58 was 1 year off the other way. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Is so interesting.
Norm.
Yes.
I bought something that I'd like to buy another one and send you one. It's a machine that you could use when Robert's getting rude or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this and see if you like it.
Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. So you don't have to strain your voice. Here we go.
You're a totally gross, boring nerd. Nerd. Bubblehead. Loser. Geek.
You like that?
Oh, that is so beautiful.
It's like Wally last night.
It's called the Insultinator. And I saw, I normally don't, stoop to impulse buying. I saw this little girl playing with this at a drugstore, and she was having so much fun. I said, hey, I never had one when I was a kid. And I don't know, I just had to have it.
$12
Hey, listen, hold on just a minute. I got another Washington's birthday special coming up.
Oh.
And we'll be right back. But you tell me the year. This is a little historical thing here. This happened also on February 17. You tell me what year it was.
You don't want it, Norm, do you?
What's that, please?
That machine?
Oh, it sounds great.
No, geek. When I heard the voice, it kind of reminded me. And I said, is Norm Nathan moonlighting? And I said, good, Westinghouse, they probably don't pay him enough.
They really don't, because I'm, like Mo Vaughn and some of these other greats, Anyway, the first issue of Newsweek magazine was published on February 17. What year would that have been? John, what do you think?
What year? Journalist, John, come on.
Yeah, Newsweek, though, that's got nothing to do with journalism these days. So. let's see, Newsweek. 1837.
1837.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, why not?
For Newsweek, why not? Okay, yeah. Jim, what do you think?
I think I think it's early 1900s. I'm going to say 1921.
Okay, Bob, what do you say?
1938.
1938,
and Pete? 1926.
Ed?
1881.
And Jack?
Back then it was Newseth Weeketh.
Thou shalt subscribe it.
Yes. Peopleth in the Newseth. Let's see.
All the news is not fit to print.
Yeah. 1952.
1952. Actually, it was
1933.
Not too long after a time, I think, came out a little bit before then, too.
Right after the Depression.
Yeah, well, during the Depression, matter of fact. 1933, we're right in the midst of it. because Time, I think one of their first covers was Franklin Roosevelt. So they came out about the same time, maybe a little bit before.
Well, was that the one with him with the jaunty jaw and the cigarette?
That's right, the cigarette holder.
Kind of like waving from the back of the car.
And the little lorgnette, the little glasses and stuff.
Yeah.
That was the guy. That was the
39 Time had Hitler was the man of the year, didn't they?
Yeah, well, a little, yeah, around 39, that would have been about then, yeah.
So are we going to have Buchanan this year?
Let me tell you who won this one. Let's see, who came the closest? Bob said 38, which was 5 years off. Pete said 26, which would have been 7 years off. I guess, no, it would have been Bob. Bob got that round. So 1938, second would have been Pete, who said 26, and then Jim, you said 1921, so it would have been that order. However, Jack has got three.
That was a good question. All the guesses were like way across the board.
Yeah. So from 1837 to 1952. Okay. Hey, now, one of you said did not get the prize. Was that you, Jim? Wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, hang in there, and Ed will talk to you, take your name and address. We'll get it out to you. I got to go because the news is just about ready to come on.
Norm, it's a pleasure. I want you to make Lou Grant Theater a part of your normal show.
Okay. Hey, thanks
Ed,
a lot.
Good luck to you. It was really, I think you're a class act, and we know you're going to do successful wherever you go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have to say thank you, all you guys, and go very quickly.
Information incoming. Hugh Beaumont was a lay minister in the Methodist Church. You're welcome. Please check out the links in the bio on ways to support the show. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For whales, dolphins, and seals. Kissing sound effects. Gulf World. Pensacola. Panama City. Rocky the Seal. Syrupy goodbyes. Nothing coming out of the sky. Kissy sharks. The WBZ Plush Hotel Lobby, the WBZ Farm and Food Store, running your hand through some grain, world-class cities, subways, open casting calls, no experience required, Theodore Beaver Cleaver, Universal Studios, Leave It to Dorf, Ward Cleaver's Ties, Traffic on the T, the eternal question, how does Dinger do it, Mitsubishi Mouse, Jack Benny Cameos, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Kurt Vonnegut, Lonely Middleton, Massachusetts, Catechism After Dark, A Brisk Walking Harry Truman, Bankrupt Haberdashers, Weak Dried Up Bob Rowley Pens, The Insultinator, Newseth Weeketh Magazine, Lou Grant Theater, all the super entertaining players, John, Jim, Bob, Pete, and the departing Ed LeClaire, Jack Hart, and the old sport himself, Norm Gatsby Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.
You're a totally gross, boring nerd. Nerd. Butterhead. Loser. Geek.
You like that?
Oh, that is so beautiful.
It, it,